Hello and welcome to Listen Up, the E3 Diagnostics podcast. I'm Sherman Lord, and my guest today is Dr. Bree Myers, Assistant Dean and Associate Professor in the Osborne College of Audiology at Salish University. She teaches several, if not all, of the vestibular courses at OCA and has presented at both local and national conferences. In addition, she's the author of the Vestibular Lab Manual. We're going to talk today about the value of adding VHIT to your vestibular test battery. But before we go there, Bree, could you tell us a little bit more about what you do at the university, please?
Sure, Sherman. And thanks for having me on this podcast. I'm really excited to be here and to talk to you about vestibular stuff. As you can tell, I get excited when we speak about assessing the balance systems here. And so what I do, as you mentioned, I do teach the didactic portion of all of the lectures and the vestibular portion of the curriculum here at OCA. And then I also serve as one of our on-campus clinical preceptors or supervisors at the Pennsylvania Ear Institute. There I see a wide variety from pediatric to geriatric vestibular patients for basic and also advanced vestibular testing. I make sure that what we're teaching over on the one side of the didactic portion matches with actual clinical practices.
As part of the test battery, you've been doing VHIT now for how long?
Oh my gosh. It's been quite a few years. I was an early adopter. And when I wasn't able to get the equipment quite as I was an early admirer of the VHIT for sure.
And how does that fit into your test battery right now?
Well, it's an integral part, and I didn't realize how much of an integral part until I lost it. Unfortunately, we had a span of time where our VHIT was down, and I realized how much I missed it. So what I do is, given the patient, if able to perform the VHIT, and most really are with minor modifications, I do it for all of the patients, at least in the horizontal canal, because it just gives me another data point to cross-reference when I'm trying to figure out how the person's vestibular system is working or is not working.
Is the VHIT more or less a standard part of your test battery at this point, or is it sometimes not used?
It is. I've adopted it as a part of my standard test battery. Why wouldn't I do it? Honestly, it takes virtually no time at all. Maybe it adds a few minutes, but what I've really come to rely on it is just this cross-reference to what the caloric testing. I know this is our gold standard of how we determine if the integrity of the VOR, but it's looking at it at a completely different and honestly a little bit more natural way than thermodynamics and you know, the thermal effects on our vestibular system.
So since many clinicians depend and are comfortable with caloric testing, because as you said, it is the gold standard in terms of testing the horizontal canal, or at least it has been for a number of years, decades actually. What would you say to somebody who would ask you, why add VHIT? And could you offer a few examples of why VHIT would be an important addition to the caloric testing in that respect?
Like you said, we've had, and Barony, won the Nobel Prize in over 100 years ago at this point for the theory of calorics, and it's a great theory. We do know that it's his initial theory of convection as being the total source in this kind of fluid movement isn't probably the entire picture of what calorics are actually measuring. But with VHIT, it's a real-time assessment. We're looking at natural head speed movements, or maybe not. People wouldn't move their heads quite as quickly, but relatively, as opposed to the speed in which we do turn our heads very quickly in daily life, and that's most provoking in patients who have vestibular deficits. So I love it as a cross-reference. I feel like calorics still have their value. They're somewhat like the canary in the coal mine. If from Pennsylvania, we have a lot of coal, but they're sometimes, usually if there's a problem, they're the first to respond, where you're going to see some issues in unilateral, bilateral weakness. But all too often, my patients are coming in and either they're they don't tolerate the calorics very well, or I'm getting a bilateral reduction. And instead of scheduling them for a rotary chair, which I'm fortunate to have, a lot of clinics aren't fortunate to have rotary chair, by doing a VHIT afterwards, I can actually look at the integrity of at least another portion of the VOR, and it's saved a number of my patients from having to go through full rotary chair testing, and to inform vestibular rehabilitation therapies too, saying, no, there's actually VOR that you can work with. And really, that's where I've found the value of that too.
Are there patients where caloric testing and VHIT testing disagree?
All the time. All the time. More often than not. And I like to think that I've done my fair share of calorics, where I know that whether it's using air or water, I'm hitting the TM, we're definitely stimulating, or we're getting the air down to theoretically stimulate. But, you know, unfortunately, calorics aren't only measuring the vestibular system response. A lot of the patient's attention is tied up in that. And the use of medications that they can't necessarily stop for the sake of that. I know that there's definitely some talk and discussion about when is it appropriate and what types of medications you're okay to stop taking, or ones that you shouldn't. There was actually a really great article in Audiology Today a few years ago that discussed that point too. And with VHIT, there, you can be on your medications and be just fine. So that's really why I like it.
Yeah, I think actually that's a very good point to make. And there has been so much discussion over the past years about maybe this test, VHIT, is a way to eliminate caloric testing. But it's obvious to me that you don't feel that way.
I don't think so. I don't think we're at that determination yet. I don't think the research is showing it there. It's just another tool to the battery. But if I can get away with maybe doing monothermal warm calorics and follow it up with a VHIT, I'm going to definitely go that route.
Interesting. Thanks for that. You know, I've been around a long time, and I've seen a lot of change in vestibular testing and vestibular science over the past couple of decades. It continues to evolve very, very quickly as the technology improves and as we learn more about how the balance system works for patients. But there are always misconceptions. Let's do a little myth busting. Can you give us some insight into that?
Sure. I think the biggest myth that might be out there is if you get a normal VNG, it means that the entire vestibular system is normal and unaffected. I feel like this myth persists a little bit, but it's certainly not true. We know that when we look at ocular motors, that's looking at only a small portion of the central vestibular system, or areas of the central nervous system that are tied to the extraocular eye muscles and going through the brainstem pathway. We're not even touching upon the cortical areas or the thalamus or any of those higher level cortex areas that are responsible for our perception of balance and space. So we're not quite there yet. Imaging studies are coming out, which give us a little bit of insight, and functional MRIs, especially, that's an area where I see some fun research coming out, some interesting research emerging here recently. And we know that calorics are only really looking at the horizontal canals. They're not. So with VHIT, we can assess the canals in all three planes. We can look at posterior, superior, and the horizontal as a cross check. And that'll give us insight also potentially into the superior versus inferior section of the vestibular nerve. If you compare that with looking at CVEMPs, which have really come into play. I can remember just being out of grad school and learning about VEMPs and just being blown away at that we could trick our evoked potential systems out back in the day before they came standard and before it was really allowed. But, you know, I can remember figuring out how to change those things to get a CVEMP response on my evoked potential, and just thinking how cool that is. So finally we can see how the saccule is working. Same thing with the OVEMPs and what they're showing there. And when we talk about concussion and blast injury and those types of events, you know, our horizontal canals, which is what we would typically see in caloric results and even rotary chair, they might be fine, but you might have significant olith damage. So I think that's the biggest myth that there is. That
well, it's quite clear that, you know, your point of view is about a comprehensive assessment of a patient, that you can't limit it to just BNG.
Correct.
And looking at higher frequencies and natural head movements obviously are very important. Mm-hmm. VHIT is a lower cost, easy to use and learn way to assess higher frequencies and help your vestibular patients. If you're interested in learning more, contact your local E3 diagnostic sales rep. Bree, thanks so much for sharing your experiences and perspective on this today. I really appreciate it, and we all are glad that you joined us for this podcast.
Thank you for the invite, Sherman. It's been a pleasure talking to you, too.